Mahabharata Chapter 18 Duryodhan's Envy. Duryodhan had also decided to stay on for a while in Indraprastha with Shakuni. The prince burned from envy of the Pandavas' success. They had far exceeded him in their power and influence. Duryodhan could not stand the fact that Yudhisthira was now emperor of the world, a position he felt should belong to him. He gazed with astonishment at the unlimited wealth piled in Yudhisthira's treasury. The Kaurava had never seen such opulence. Duryodhan was especially intrigued by the Maya Sabda, and he wanted to take a closer look. Thus he and Shakuni examined the hall. The Kaurava saw celestial designs which he had never seen before anywhere else. He was amazed by the workmanship and splendor of the palace. It was as if he had gone to the heavenly planets. Bright gems sparkled on all sides of the spacious hall, and Duryodhan could feel a cool breeze which carried a mixture of celestial fragrances. Ivory and gold seats stood by the side of lotus-filled lakes. The walls were inlaid with exquisite carvings depicting the gods and their consorts. Duryodhan slowly made his way through the hall, his many golden ornaments jangling together as he walked. As he saw Maya's intricate and wonderful workmanship, he became even more jealous. He snapped angrily at the palace servants walking in front of him. With his golden helmeted head held high, he walked casually, trying not to show any signs of being impressed. Gradually, he came to the large crystal pond at the center of the palace. The water was perfectly clear and still. At first glance, it appeared to be a continuation of the marble floor leading up to it, and Duryodhan made that mistake. Fully clothed and with his eyes wide open, he fell straight into the water. The Pandavas were standing on a golden balcony above the pond. Seeing Duryodhan falling in with his arms and legs akimbo, Bhima laughed aloud. Many of Krishna's queens were also present, and they too laughed. The Kaurava prince hauled himself out of the lake, helped by Shakuni. He did not even look at the Pandavas or Krishna and his queens. Their laughter was unbearable. Yudhisthira saw Duryodhan's embarrassment and told his brothers not to laugh. Krishna smiled but said nothing as Yudhisthira arranged for dry clothes to be brought and offered to the angry prince. Duryodhan quickly put them on and continued his tour, trying hard to conceal his feelings. Everything was intolerable to him. The magnificence of the palace, the incomparable beauty of the queens who moved about within it, and particularly Draupadi. Duryodhan was still burning from his failure to win the Panchala princess. She was a jewel among women. She too had laughed when he had fallen into the lake. This was agony. Suddenly, he again found himself a victim of the deceptive designs of the palace. He walked into an apparently open door, then avoided another because he thought it was closed when it was actually open. The palace attendants were struggling to restrain their laughter. Humiliated and angry, the prince stormed out. Yudhisthira felt sorry to see Duryodhan's pain. He tried to console him in various ways, but Duryodhan just laughed. He bade the Pandavas farewell and left for Hastinapur, followed by his large retinue, his mind bent upon revenge. Then Krishna also decided to return home. As he was departing, he spoke affectionately to Yudhisthira. O King, cherish all your subjects with ceaseless vigilance and patience. As the cloud is to all creatures, or the large tree to the birds, so you should become the refuge to your dependents. After Krishna's departure, the Pandavas approached Vyasadeva, who still had not left. Yudhisthira asked him if the sacrifice had been successful. The Rishi replied, O Kuru child, this sacrifice will yield great results for 13 years. You shall be the undisputed emperor of this wide earth, but at the end of that period, you will be the cause of a war which will rid the world of Kshatriyas. Yudhisthira was alarmed. Seeing his expression, Vyasadeva said, "Do not be aggrieved. No one can overcome the influence of time. Everything is arranged by the Supreme for the ultimate good of all. This war will be Duryodhan's fault, not yours. I shall now go to the mountains, but you will see me again in times of need." The Rishi then stood up and left, surrounded by all the other sages. When they were gone, Yudhisthira spoke to his brothers. "The sage's words cannot prove false, but I do not wish to be the cause of suffering in the world. From this day on, I shall not speak a harsh word to anyone. I shall always practice virtue, and shall see no difference between my own sons and those of others, and I shall follow my elders' commands without the least hesitation. In this way I shall avoid disagreements, for they are the cause of war." Yudhisthira continued to think about Vyasadeva's words. It seemed that the Lord's plan was unfolding. Although the Pandavas had asserted their rulership over the world, it was still a fact that many impious kings were exploiting the earth's resources. Yudhisthira sought the sacrifice that many had supported Shishupal against Krishna, although they were afraid to oppose him openly. Who knew what evil schemes Duryodhan and his brothers would dream up? All of this was no doubt Krishna's arrangement to rid the world of ungodly elements. Yudhisthira remained immersed in the thought of Krishna and his mysterious plans. As he made his way back to Hastinapur, Duryodhan sat brooding and miserable in his chariot. Shakuni asked him, "What ails you, O king? Why are you sighing again and again?" The prince looked distractedly at Shakuni. "O uncle, I am filled with jealousy to see the world under the Pandavas' sway. Having witnessed their astounding sacrifice and seeing them shining like gods in heaven, my heart burns day and night. Indeed, I am drying up like a shallow pool in the summer sun." Duryodhan gazed out of his chariot at the rolling countryside with its well-tilled fields and blossoming orchards. Groups of villagers stood and watched as the royal procession moved along the road. The prince continued, "When Krishna killed Shishupal, no kings dared to speak. They were all awed by the Pandavas' might, or else how could they have tolerated such an injustice?" Duryodhan wrung his hands. "I cannot tolerate it. I shall therefore enter fire, drown myself, or swallow poison. What man who possesses any prowess at all can bear to see his enemies prosper? How can I ever equal their power and opulence? Who can help me achieve such influence? Fate is supreme, and men's exertions useless. All my efforts to destroy the Pandavas have failed. Indeed, they flourish like lotuses in a lake. Therefore I should die. Knowing that I am in the grip of grief, O uncle, please inform my father." Shakuni moved closer to his nephew. "O Duryodhan, do not envy the Pandavas. They are receiving what is rightfully theirs due to their own deeds. They have half their kingdom, and with Krishna's help and Drupada's alliance, they have grown rich. What is there to be sorry about?" The Gandhara ruler smiled as he spoke. His eyes narrowed slightly, and he fingered his jeweled rings. "Your cousins have conquered the world and now possess limitless wealth. Why do you grieve? This wealth can now become yours. You said there are none to help you, but I do not agree. You have 100 brothers, the greatly powerful Drona, Karna, and the invincible chariot warrior, Kripa. All my brothers, along with the mighty Somadatta, stand ready at your command. Take the earth and rule it without a rival." Duryodhan's eyes widened. He sat up straight on the leather-upholstered seat. Perhaps his uncle was right. The Kaurava's strength was hard to rival. Drona, Bhishma, Kripa, Karna. Who could face these men when they stood together in battle? Duryodhan spoke eagerly. "O king, if you think it wise, then I shall conquer the Pandavas. This whole world shall be mine, along with the magnificent Maya Sabha." Shakuni slowly shook his head. He played with the set of dice he carried with him everywhere. Do not be rash, O king. There are many ways to overcome an enemy, apart from battle. We cannot conquer in battle the Pandavas, especially when they are united with Krishna. Not even Indra with all the celestials could overpower them. I was thinking of another way by which they can be defeated. Shakuni suggested that they challenge Yudhisthira to a game of dice. He knew Yudhisthira was fond of playing, and also that he was not expert. At dice, Shakuni had no equal anywhere in the world. Without a doubt, Yudhisthira will accept your challenge. Shakuni continued, his arm resting on Duryodhan's shoulder. He cannot resist the game, and with a little encouragement, he will surely gamble away all his possessions. Thus I will win for you his entire kingdom and wealth. As they entered Hastinapur, Duryodhan suggested that they go at once to Dhritarashtra and get his permission for the plan. Arriving before the blind king, Shakuni said, O great monarch, here is your son Duryodhan. He is pale and emaciated with grief. You should ask him the cause and try to find a remedy. Dhritarashtra was surprised. Why are you sad, my son? You have at your disposal everything enjoyable, no less than the gods. Vast wealth, the best of clothes, the finest food, beautiful women. All these await your pleasure. How then have you become depressed? Duryodhan at once admitted that he was consumed by jealousy of the Pandavas. Even though he had wealth, their wealth, his enemy's wealth, was superior. The Kaurava then described to his father what he had seen in Indraprastha. During the sacrifice, Yudhisthira was given so much tribute that it became necessary to turn some of it away. He had been offered millions of elephants, horses, cows, and camels. Heaps of gems and golden ornaments were stacked up like mountains. The Pandava provided 30 servant maids for each of 88,000 Snataka Brahmins. He managed to feed 100,000 Brahmins at a time during the sacrifice, and when they were fed, conches were blown. O Father, I heard those conches sounding all through the sacrifice. Duryodhan told the king how he had even seen the gods at the Rajasuya. Samudra, the ocean deity, had personally offered Yudhisthira celestial ambrosia, drawn from the depths of the sea. This beverage is superior even to the somarasa that Indra enjoys. It was impossible for Duryodhan to describe to his blind father all that he had seen. As he remembered it, however, Duryodhan's heart burned with the fire of envy. Dhritarashtra remained silent. Then Shakuni spoke. O king, I know a means by which your son may win all this wealth for himself. I propose that you invite Yudhisthira to a game of dice. No one can defeat me at dice. I will win easily. In this way, we shall acquire all that Yudhisthira possesses. Father, please grant us permission to carry this out. Let us conquer our enemies and enjoy this earth, said Duryodhan. Dhritarashtra was uncertain. Let me consult the wise Vidura. He will only advise us for our own good. Vidura will certainly block our plan, Duryodhan replied. And if he does, then I shall take my own life. Then you and Vidura may live here happily. What need do you have for me anyway? Dhritarashtra was pained. Duryodhan was his most dear son. How could he ever refuse his requests? The king decided he would talk to Vidura and convince him. Then he ordered that a palatial hall be constructed for the match. It should have 1,000 pillars and 1,000 gates. Covering 2 square miles, it should be set with countless gems. When it was complete, they could invite the Pandavas for the game. Dhritarashtra was still uneasy. He knew the evils of gambling. He called for Vidura and said, I have decided to invite the Pandavas for a friendly game of dice with my sons. They can gamble a little and thus sport together. I am building a fine hall for their pleasure. Vidura frowned. I do not approve of this, O king. Gambling always brings with it dispute and fighting. You should be careful that no dissension arises between your sons and the Pandavas, for that may cause destruction." Dhritarashtra tried to reassure his brother. "When you, me, Bhishma, and Drona are there, what evil can befall us? In any event, destiny is supreme. Whatever has been ordained by the supreme power will come to pass. What can our efforts do to avert it? I have already arranged for this gambling match for my son's pleasure. Please do not try to change my mind." Vidura sighed. "Fate is surely all-powerful, O king, but we nevertheless receive the results of our own acts. We have free will. The supreme power simply reciprocates with our desires. It is the consequences of our acts which are inevitable, not the acts themselves. O Lord, consider carefully your motivation in allowing this gambling match." Dhritarashtra remained silent, and Vidura slowly left his chamber with a heavy heart. He could understand that Kali Yuga, the dark age of quarrel and suffering, was beginning. The gambling match would certainly set in motion the events that would lead to the annihilation of the world's rulers. Vidura remembered the Rajasuya and the kings who had supported Shishupal against Krishna. He was apprehensive, but he felt helpless. Although the king was not a fool, he was controlled by his covetous and mean-minded son. Vidura's counsel, although aimed at the good of all, was falling on deaf ears. During the coming weeks, as the hall was being built, Dhritarashtra reflected on Vidura's words. He disliked countermanding his brother's advice, because he knew Vidura never gave faulty counsel. The impending dice match was undoubtedly fraught with danger. If it led to a battle between the Kauravas and the Pandavas, that would be a disaster. The king decided to try once more to change his son's mind. Sitting alone with him in his chamber, he said, "O son of Gandhari, there is no need to gamble with your cousins. Vidura does not approve of it, and I do not like it either. Gambling inevitably leads to dissension. Everything we now have could be ruined. If you desire wealth equal to that of the Pandavas, then let us perform a sacrifice similar to theirs. Then the world's kings will bring you tribute as they did Yudhisthira. Why must you take Yudhisthira's wealth from him? Yudhisthira is gentle. He will never attack you or cause you pain. Give up your envy and do not grieve. Enjoy life with all the good things you already possess." Duryodhan would not accept his father's advice. He told him about the incidents at the Mayasabha and how the Pandavas, and especially Draupadi, had laughed at him. He remembered it again, and his anger was inflamed. In a choked voice, he described the incidents to his father. "Seeing what I thought to be a door, but which was really a solid piece of crystal, I walked straight into it and smashed my head. As I stood with my brain swimming, the twins came up and supported me. Sahadev led me by the hand, smiling and saying repeatedly, 'This is the door, O king.' I felt like dying then and there." The Kaurava prince also gave more details about the Pandavas' wealth. The Kauravas could never equal that wealth, even if they performed 100 sacrifices. Duryodhan had never even heard of the many shining gems he had seen at Yudhisthira's palace. For weeks, an endless line of kings and chieftains arrived at Indraprastha, each bringing huge amounts of tributes in an attempt to excel the others in charity. Seeing all the gold, gems, weapons, animals, clothes, rugs, silks, skins, serving maids, perfumes, and incenses, Duryodhan was shocked. When he saw Samudra fetch Varuna's massive golden conch, which Krishna then used to bathe Yudhisthira in the final sacrificial ablution, the Kaurava prince all but lost his senses. Dhritarashtra listened in silence as his son continued, "O father, the Pandavas had even spread their dominion to the far northern regions of the Harivarsha, where no man can go. The residents of that land gave them hundreds of celestial conches, and I heard them being blown during the sacrifice. The tremendous sound made my hair stand erect. Weaker kings fainted upon hearing the noise. Duryodhan's voice became increasingly urgent as he pleaded with his father, "I cannot live as long as the Pandavas possess such incomparable opulence. If they are allowed to flourish, it will only be a matter of time until they overpower the Kauravas. They are our enemies. It is only right that we should attack them and take their wealth. This is the Kshatriya code. Either I will gain control of the earth, or I will die. This gambling match is the safest and surest way to achieve our ends." Dhritarashtra thought for some moments and then replied, "O son, I hate such enmity, especially when you bear it toward those who are powerful. Such hostility brings about a change of feelings, and it is thus itself a painful weapon, although not made of steel. Do you realize that what you are suggesting will certainly cause a fearful war?" Duryodhan paced impatiently in front of his blind father. "What violence is there in a simple game of dice? If Yudhishthir chooses to gamble and loses wealth, then how can anyone blame us? We have nothing to lose. Shakuni will win every game. O father, please grant me permission to invite the Pandavas for this match." The king rose from his seat and called for his servants. As they led him away, he said, "Your words do not find favor with me, O prince, but do what you will. You will surely repent your rashness later, for deeds fraught with impiety never bring prosperity. I shall ask Vidura to invite the Pandavas." A few days later, the king heard that the hall had been completed. He called for Vidura and said, "Please leave at once for Indraprastha, and bring Yudhishthir and his brothers. Invite them for a friendly game of dice with their cousins in our new hall." Vidura tried one last time to dissuade the king. "This match will certainly bring about the destruction of our race. Clearly, your son wants only the Pandava's wealth, and has contrived this means to take it. Dissension among our family members will cause our ruin. O king, stop it now, while you have the chance." But Dhritarashtra had already made up his mind. "O brother, everything lies in the hands of destiny. If destiny so wills it, then we will not be harmed. And if by the course of fate we are to suffer, then what can be done? Everything happens according to providence. Therefore, please go to Indraprastha and return with Kunti's invincible sons." Vidura looked despairingly at the blind monarch. It was hopeless to try and change his mind. His attachment for Duryodhan was too strong. Even though he could obviously see the results of acquiescing to his son, Dhritarashtra still did not refuse him. Fearing the worst, Vidura left the palace and prepared for his journey.